This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're joined now with a person who knows that better than anyone because he's living this day in, day out. That's Walt Leger III, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, congratulations. Great event, sold-out event today here at New Orleans Riverside. I love that you guys are recognizing all different sorts of folks and where they are, from management, mid-level, those that are in the trenches, as I said earlier, turning the wrenches. You got to be really excited about this today.
Absolutely. It's a truly exciting day. It's
your first event since
it's our first in-person sort of luncheon type event like this since COVID.
Since COVID.
And since I've been here a part of the team. I think actually I was maybe got to do the first one weeks before COVID kind of started to close things down like this. And so we're,
so it's all your fault then about COVID.
It feels like the timing was kind of eerie. Yeah. I mean, but we're thrilled to be back. And to your point, celebrating people who are making it happen every day. You know, I mean, this industry is made up of people and, travel can be complicated. I spent the night at the Atlanta airport just two nights ago because of the weather here. We flew in, circled New Orleans for a few hours around midnight, and then they took us back to Atlanta at 3 a.m., slept in the airport. And to your point, some of the service and the staff that we engaged with had at the airport in Atlanta had different attitudes. Right. There were two people I think of in my brain right now. And one was negative and one was positive, and I prefer the positive.
Yes.
So, I, you know, to your point, it's made up of people. People are imperfect,
right,
but the people of our city are a little more perfect than the people of other cities, and I think it's what makes it such a special place. You know, I mean, certainly there isn't anything that happens here that isn't built on the people making that experience matter and making it special.
And it's a nice reminder for folks when you recognize them and invite them to these events that what they do truly does matter, especially when you get dozens and dozens of letters from folks that y'all interact with and help set up their visit here, talking about these little nuance experiences that they have with folks in this industry.
When you think about the power of travel, and we talk about it being a $2.9 trillion industry, it's really easy to forget about the people that make that happen. $2.9 trillion economic footprint of travel across the globe and to the United States. But all of that is based on the interactions that people have with individuals. And, you know, today we're recognizing transportation workers and people who are bus drivers who move people around the city and who very distinctly have an impact on what your experience is going to be, for the good or for the bad. And fortunately, a lot of the times here, it's for the good. And certainly the folks you're representing today are for the good. So while you talk about these huge dollar amounts and the economic impact on our community and how it helps pay for public safety and infrastructure and education and all of those things, I think it's important to drill down to the people and remember that it's about the impact that it has on those individuals, that it creates the visitorship creates an opportunity for a livelihood and for the ability to support a family. And more importantly, it speaks to the why. You know, I mean, why are people doing this? Why do people choose to live their life in that way and choose to work in an industry like this one that is of service to others on a daily basis? And I think it's because of the old kind of concept that you give what you get. And, you know, when you are able to open up and give somebody something and welcome someone, then you get a smile in return, or you get some other interaction in return that brightens your day a little bit too. And it makes, you know, the grind of day in and day out just a little bit better. And I think that's that, you know, it's about experiences and the experiences you have with your fellow human being. And I think people tend to have magical ones when they're in our community, and it's obvious why, but we don't always talk about why.
Not unlike most industries, things just don't happen. You have to make them happen. This industry, though, even more so, right? Because it's all about execution. It's timing, because you're event to event to event, experience to experience to experience. This city's not always the easiest in some respect, because it's not like in San Diego, for example. You wake up 365 days a year and the weather is
perfect.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Right.
Here, there are challenges on top of challenges on top of challenges. You have to pivot. You have to be nimble. You have to adapt. And you got to be able to provide folks easy access to a whole lot of things with a whole lot of challenges.
There, preview of some of my comments today. I mean, speak just to that. You know, I mean, Charles Darwin said it's not the most intellectually superior or the strongest species that survives. It's the one that's most open to adaptation.
Right.
And adaptability is really the key. And so in our industry, we talk about resilience a lot in our community. I know there are a lot of people who wish they didn't have to be so resilient. But resilience and adaptability is the foundation of life, right? Not just in this industry, but in almost any industry. The reality, though, is, to your point, when you're dealing with thousands of human beings that, you know, and what's also great about being here at the Hilton today is they got a bunch of meetings and conferences going on, not just our meeting. There's three or four things happening at the same time.
Huge trucking thing going on across the hall.
And so adaptability and the ability to pivot is essential in this industry. And our people execute that very, very well, despite, you know, the challenges that pop up. You make it happen. We had the snowstorm in the middle of the National Auto Dealers event just a few days ago, right? Well, it seems like 10 years ago, but it was just a few days ago, in the 20th day of the year.
Right.
And, you know, we had to switch the load in and get them loaded in so that they were stable and set. And then we had to flex and figure out how to get people in. Events were moved and rescheduled and moved around. Ultimately delivered, you know, at a very high level, which has allowed us to confirm future business with that critical partner of ours. So I think people in this industry are rewarded for being adaptable and resilient. And so it's a good thing that it's become a strength of ours to be able to ensure that our partners in production know that they've got a partner that's going to be as flexible as they need us to be.
If you would talk about this for a moment. A lot of folks take for granted what y'all do, how this works and everything else. The monetary financial oomph that's provided allows us to leverage so many other things. We oftentimes refer to it as punching above our weight with all that we have to offer in this city that you typically wouldn't see in a third tier city. It's here. What I love about what you guys at New Orleans and Company have been doing is leveraging that to do and bring a lot of other things here. Not necessarily in the tourism-related industry, but in the economic development, under the economic development umbrella.
When you're a city of 375,000 people in a region of, let's say, 1.2, 1.3 million, and you're competing with major cities with major corporate presence and support, that competition is stiff. But to your point, when you're able, and that's why something like a Super Bowl, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but, you know, that's an important event at the moment. It happens in, you know, February 9th of 25 is great. We had a week of events and things that were happening. No doubt significant economic impact for the community. But you're able to leverage something like that to continue to communicate that this is one of the most significant places in the world. We work with UNESCO. We work with Michelin, other brands that are universal and known. We work with Disney and so many other partners to try to continue to ensure that we're elevated in that way, because not every community has those opportunities. That's being brought to us because of the opportunity that because we have, you know, some of the world's greatest food with Michelin, or because we've got some of the most creative culture with Disney. Or we've got some of the greatest music anywhere on the planet, and we've been a birthplace of jazz, but also all the spin-offs of that have also come from New Orleans with UNESCO. And all those things keep the brand elevated in a way that reminds people that, you know, who we are and what we're about here. And it creates, as you said, unlimited opportunity to be able to sell. Now, you've got to do the other things right, you know, well also, right? You've got to continue to improve public education and infrastructure and, you know, technology and continue to grow the healthcare sector and support the universities and do the other things, put the other building blocks in place. But, you know, minus the ability to elevate the culture and the city in the way that we have through visitorship, it's hard to even know if you're on the map for consideration for any of those things, yeah, or if you're thought of at all.
But, you know, it's interesting, as you point out, the wins in healthcare, the wins in education, wins, all of that actually piques the interest and the curiosity of travelers, right? They like to go to areas where they see
things are happening.
Things happening where they see an incredible hospital or they see educational institutions, because they'll actually visit them.
I think that it's incumbent on us to recognize what attracts people's interest, and what attracts people's interest is progress. Mm-hmm. What we need to continue to do is build a narrative around that, not a narrative around something else. There are narratives that exist. Certainly in New Orleans, there are narratives about the struggles that we have and the challenges that we have. We have to continue to embrace the positive narratives and remind people. I get a lot of messages, and we've talked offline, a lot of them are negative. They're complaining about something or the other. And, you know, that could be even the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl wasn't great for my business, or Taylor Swift wasn't great for my business. I'm glad it was good for everyone else, but it wasn't great for me. And so there's all these things, and it's okay. I feel like I need to know those things, and so I can help to improve them. But I also got a text the other morning that said, sometimes I forget about how special this place is. All it took was my car being in the shop, though. I commuted using the streetcar this morning. I connected on a bus line and came up Canal Street, and they were both spectacular experiences, and it reminded me of just how beautiful and unique our city is. And I was like, thank you for sending me this message. I needed this today. And we sometimes need to remind ourselves that though we sometimes focus on the negatives, which maybe we should, because we want to improve them, right? And it's our home, and we want it to be better.
Yeah.
The folks from the outside focus on the positives because, you know, that's what you get to do when you visit a place. And they believe this is one of the most remarkable and unique places anywhere. And that's why we're able to keep attracting them back. And a lot of that's about continuing to tell that story. Our job here is to keep making it a better place so that it'll be a great place to live and work and grow and raise a family. And that will keep us an attractive place to visit. But to your point, people want to go where things are happening, where investment's happening. We need to keep making sure that we not just protect the culture and preserve it, but that we also, you know, persevere and move forward with progress as well. Yeah. And that means new things.
It's funny you say that, because every time I get in traffic, and it takes me 20 minutes to get home from the office to the house, I have to remind myself there's not many places that you can typically do it in 12.
No, that's right.
You know, and it's like
there's a compactness here that we take for granted. Yeah. I was in Bogota, Colombia for an international conference on meetings with meeting planners. And the tour guide told us, sorry about the traffic jam that we're in right now. During the week, we have a lot of traffic jams. And then on the weekend, we have even more traffic jams. Right. And, you know, it was difficult to move around. And it's a city of 10 million people, by the way.
Right.
So, I mean, a different vibe altogether. But, you know, we do take for granted the compactness and the ability to move around. Not that traffic is ever going to not be annoying.
Yeah.
You know, that is what it is.
Left my house, went to Jazz Fest. It took me 9.5 minutes. You know?
Should have only taken three, right? Yeah.
Right.
I think I get that a lot when, you know, my kids go to school about 14 minutes from my house. And yeah, people are like, I can't believe you drive them all the way out there. I'm like, it's 14 minutes. We have a lot to be grateful for here.
No, no doubt.
At Jazz Fest, as you said, I mean, think about that celebration. We take it for granted, but it's really, truly a remarkable gathering of talent from around the world. And, you know, as we always say, our community should be getting better, stronger in so many ways, and we're going to all keep working to do that. But sometimes you do have to pause and recognize that you live in one of the most special communities anywhere, and celebrate it around the world. Not the biggest place, but certainly one that lives in people's minds and in imaginations, and that they either, I mean, I don't meet anyone anywhere that doesn't say, I can't wait to come back, or I've never been and I can't wait to come.
Yeah.
And I that's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And so then the job is on us to ensure that the experience is good when they come here, and that we continue to grow the opportunity to bring different and diverse groups and organizations here that have impacts on the community in different ways as they go. Not every event is going to benefit every business, but we do want people to continue to come in and spend their dollars that then allow our city and region and state to reinvest those dollars for the betterment of the community, and that's ultimately what it's about.
Now, your organization, for me, is an interesting one. First off, I love the folks in the hospitality and tourism industry. I think they're some of the funnest people to be around. They're the glass half full, kind of folks. But you have some of your fiercest competitors that come together inside your organization. And what I love about that is they really do cheerlead for each other. You don't always see that.
I think it's a great point. You certainly could have restaurants who are competing as hard as they can on one day, but also joining hands the next to tell people about the story of our community and how unique it is. Our organization, our board, it's made up of members and member businesses who are all competing with each other. Mm-hmm. But they recognize that through our team, they can partner and we can go fight and beat another city to bring economic opportunity to the community. And then they're going to, scrap for it, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the American way. Like, let's win as a community. And then, we'll all go compete and may the best woman or the best man win. But to your point, there is a special look. I work with these cities all over through various industry boards and other organizations, and we advocate together for the travel industry. But we're certainly competing. And one thing that I think is clear is that our community really does compete as a community first and say, let's win for our city. And then let's, we'll see. We'll let the chips fall where they may, and we'll compete for it. And, that does create winners and losers. It does create those phone calls where it says, well, I'm glad y'all got that conference, but no one stayed at my hotel or no one bought out my restaurant for that event. And so the challenge then for us in the pressure on us, which is a privilege to have that pressure, is to try to continue to spread that and mm-hmm. continue to spread the opportunity. And I think we need to keep diversifying the economy so there's not so much pressure on this industry.
That's right.
And we want to help make that happen. But pressure is a privilege. And for our team at New Orleans and Company, I think we recognize there's pressure on us to deliver. Sometimes that's hard. But ultimately, competing for your community is a great reason to get up every morning and just keep going and look at things as glass half full, and also not and be a realist about it. How can we improve that? How do we make this better? But ultimately, how do we highlight the good, package it, and then bring in the opportunity for people? So I think to your point, it's a privilege to have that kind of level of pressure to deliver.
Well, Walt, congratulations. It's really an honor for us to be here today to share this experience.
Thanks for being part of it.
That y'all are providing to so many folks that you will recognize today and through this event. And we really appreciate the partnership. Walt Leger, folks, President and CEO of New Orleans and Company. We're here for the National Travel and Tourism Week. This is a recognition banquet, and it's a sold-out affair here at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside. Excited to be here. Best of luck. Congratulations.
Always appreciate the ability to be with you. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. When we return, we'll visit with David Piscola, General Manager of the Hilton Riverside Hotel. We'll be right back.